The Hebrew Order of David is one of our community's oldest and most established global outreach organizations. Join Stan Claff for the next hour as he explores the issues facing the men in the community. The HOD Hour is a fundraising initiative for the HOD. Welcome to the HOD Hour with Stan Claff.
And good evening. I'm Stan Claff from the Hebrew Order of David, HOD, as they people call us. I'm having the studio with me Rabbi Sean Wingren from the SOSA, which is SOS for the Aged. And this is a looking back at the aged. This week has been quite an sort of a passage for time. There's a black hole 54 million light holes away, vindicating Hawking and Einstein. There's 3 years. There's an extension to Brexit for another 6 months. Tiger Woods comes back to play the Masters after 14 years. Bibi Netanyahu taking on another term of office and heading for the longest serving president of Israel, or prime minister of Israel. And that is what goes on as we're busy with all these other things. Time marches on. And that's what we're going to talk about, because as time marches on, so we get older, and age seems to be an issue for many. And Rabbi Wingren has devoted his life to the care of the older person, as he calls it, or the aged as we know it. And Rabbi, just how did you come to this? Why have you not got a nice community somewhere with a shul and a community that you go there on Shabbos and give them the drosha, et cetera, et cetera? Why are you banging your head trying to help these people who should be helped by the state, who should be helped by the greater community, and yet you carry this massive flame and this massive effort to try to help?
Well, Stan, thank you firstly for having me on the show. It's a real pleasure to be with you again. And interesting that you say I devoted my life. Well, I can certainly say it's a passion of mine. The care for the aged, something that my late father, Alav HaShalom, many years ago instilled in me in my visits to the old aged home, our San Ringham Gardens, and always had this connection and feeling for senior citizens. But it actually really started in a concrete fashion in June of 2012. That's going on for 7 years now. And it started by chance, but slowly it grew, and I started realizing that there's more and more lack of care for our senior citizens, more and more issues that they potentially face, and so much more that we could do for them. And I started getting more and more involved. My electrical engineering business, thank God, has been able to support this, although it's getting much harder now, tougher economic times. And more and more of my time in SOS for the Aged. There's so many aspects to this, but we've built up four holistic programs, projects, as you might call it, around this. And the whole thing really started when, by chance, I walked into an old-aged home in Melrose, very nice suburb, and I discovered 70 Jewish people approximately living under one roof in an old aged home. I'm a rabbi. I davened at a shul two buildings from there. And I'd never ever walked into this old aged home, even though I had heard about it, until I had a reason. Once I had a reason, I walked in there. And it actually started dawning on me that these homes are islands unto themselves. An old aged home is really a place where we hide away our senior citizens, something which unfortunately is a Western concept from a Jewish point of view. The fifth commandment is honor our parents, and that's a responsibility of our children, of the children, of the parents, to look after their parents. And that's a mitzvah as long as their parents are alive, and even after, to honor and look after their parents.
So what is actually needed for them? An old age home is a place that's a refuge. There's safety, there's health issues which are looked after. There's a bed, there's food. What are you doing additional to that that makes it more comfortable for them or more important for them?
Is it, and
it's not confined to these aged homes or these care homes. It's much further beyond that.
Yeah, we started in one particular care home, and I was actually shocked that 70 Jews should live in a home and they had no access to kosher food. They didn't have Kiddush on a Friday night. Now, we're not talking 7 Jews. We're talking 70. We're the minority of the broader community. These homes, I've come to learn, are called multi-denominational homes. We work with around 20 of them in Johannesburg.
Over and above Sandringham Garden,
over and above our communal, yes. We've got wonderful communal homes in the sense that a lot of money is poured into them. A lot of time is given to them. They are old. In Johannesburg, unfortunately, they've been built many, many years ago. I'd love to know more about the history of the two main homes, Sandringham Gardens, our parents' home. Comparatively, they have a very high standard on a communal level. That is what when we say communal, the way that we've come to define it is a home that is supported by the community, which a person can stay for free. Doesn't have to pay to stay there, a communal home. Then we have the private homes. And yeah, people have to pay. If they don't pay, they're out. And the whole private retirement home industry is a massive industry, we've discovered. And unfortunately, it's very much off the charts for the Jewish community in terms of ownership, in terms of management. But it is there. And that's where we got started. And what we realized was that these individuals could benefit tremendously on the spiritual side. And that's how we got started. We started Kiddush on a Friday night for them and a little bit about the portion of the week and the Shabbos candles and Hamotzi. And my wife said they must own the project. And slowly they got more and more involved. We rekindled the Pinsel Yiddes, as we say, in the Hasidic circles, that little spark of Jewishness, which they had. They came from very well-established Jewish homes and came a point where they had to move. And they looked around and they said, well, these are choices. We can either move out of the area, we can move to a small room, or we can go to this nice, luxurious 2-3-bedroom apartment in the area where we're used to living. But the Jewish services that we are used to are not supplied by the home. They don't have to. The home itself is a private establishment. And that's where we want to make that difference. We bring them that little connection to the Jewish community. Slowly it's built up across these homes, various projects. That's on the one level.
So these are people who can afford it?
These are people who, well, it's an interesting point that you're raising because, well, my understanding is a lot of them, their children are actually paying for them and supporting them in these homes. Some, yes, support themselves and varying levels. Some of these are even cheaper than our communal homes that they're staying in. Others are way more expensive in various areas. Bryanston, on the east of Johannesburg, we've got massive homes and all over Johannesburg, really, where there are these private establishments that are supporting our precious senior citizens in the last stages of their lives.
So in a lot of these places, it's non-denominational. So if you're not Jewish, you can go there. But if you're Jewish, you can afford it. You can buy a unit or you can rent
exactly.
a unit.
Yes.
You have a home and you live there, but it doesn't mean that you're keeping all the things Jewish.
Don't have access to it anymore. Because of just the various logistic, these homes weren't geared for that. They weren't
set up
for that.
So why would you not go to Sandringham Gardens or our parents' home where apparently there's space available and there's care, abundant care, and really excellent care in the community that of people who are professionals and they look after and the community itself is supporting it. And why would you then opt to go somewhere else? Is it not good enough or is it something which just don't like the setup?
So you know what? It's very much a personal decision. Each person and the many factors that come into this decision as to where a person is going to move when they get older. And we're looking at the reality. The fact is we've got about 600 senior citizens that we know of in private retirement homes, about 15 of them. even 20, and they've chosen to go and live there. That's where they find themselves. And we've said, you know, we can't just leave you. I'm not going to just walk out and forget about you. I know about you and I feel I can make a difference, and we're trying to make a difference.
Right.
Yes, it would be absolutely ideal if our communal homes could compete on the exact same level, could be provided for in similar areas as these private homes, or if our Jewish community could move into the private retirement home space, build these homes, buy them, etc., run them, and create a similar structure to what we have in our communal homes, where every hour on the hour, you've got activities. On a Shabbos, you've got the full program, a shul, kiddush, etc., Pesach. They make these homes Pesedik, etc. Would be an incredible thing if we could do this. People live all over the city, and often when a person gets older, they don't want to move out of the area where they have lived for so many years. And that brings me to another side of retirement, and that is remaining in one's own home. And I feel that's where we've really started digging, creating new projects and bringing a new concept to our shores. And that overseas known aging in place. We've called it aging at home, with a big at sign, like what we use in the email, to show the technology component. Aging at home. Everything that you can get in the retirement home, we are trying to offer in one's own apartment, complex, or even house.
But doesn't that now open up a whole can of worms? Because these people are elderly and they need help. It's not only a question of food. It's a question of medical. These people are, as I said, they're elderly. They need emergency attention if things go wrong. Slip in the bath, some sort of accident, or even just the body gives in certain ways and you need to be assisted. So how do you deal with that? I mean, is it not putting added burden on resources to be able to assist those people? I mean, Atsola and I'm sure are willing to go at the drop of a hat or from a phone call, and thank goodness that they exist. But if they were in a home and they had care right at their bedside, so to speak, this wouldn't exist.
So it's an interesting concept. I'd love to actually understand where these homes came from, because I know from in Daheim, as they say, there was no such a thing as an old age home. You stayed with your children, with your grandchildren in your house, and that's where you got older. And interesting enough, in our September newsletter, published an article, the eight, they call them the blue zones, where they found people live longer and longer and longer, and they want to know why. And one of the things they found was multi-denominational living, where people live with their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, and that promotes longevity. To actually go into an old age home can do the exact opposite. People can become depressed. People no longer have to be independent. Things are done for them now, and they lose that. When they were their children, their grandchildren, they see the smiles, they have the interactions, the meals, etc. They under the watchful eye of their children. And that, but without a doubt, is the healthiest way to grow old in one's own home, surrounded by one's family. And that is really the ultimate.
But in a society like South Africa, which is actually unique when I've looked at other places in the world, and they are really not offering the same sort of services. A lot of it is you paying for services, staying in homes where it is multi-denomination, or it might be Jewish-based, but certainly it's not to the standard that we have here or across the board and offering the same sort of thing. And I mean, if you can't afford it in these organizations like the Sandringham Gardens, etc., they're willing to assist in whatever way possible. And certainly from the point of view of the community, it's an opportunity to go. And it presents another problem, which is a funding problem. And I mean, I know, and I work in funding every day, and the biggest problem is to raise money. People are fatigued. They don't want to put money in, and if it's spread further and further afield, it's diluted in a certain sense. So if you're putting it in, you can manage the finances of these other homes, it's much easier, and yet you're fighting the fight for, and it's a cause that is very relevant, because I would imagine, and I think for myself, I'd like to grow old in my own home until I'm able not to or unable to. So yes, I think it's a big mitzvah. How do you manage that side of things? How do you, because this doesn't come cheap.
No. So the truth is, if you think about it from a practical point of view, when a person goes into an old age home, they want the light bulb changed in their room. You've got to employ someone to do that. You want to bring them a meal, you've got to employ someone to do that. Whatever they need, you're employing someone to do that. When they stay in their own home, in the apartment building, for example, the neighbor can help them. The family member down the road worries about them. As soon as they go into the old age home, everything now is under the care of the old age home, and that's being paid for. It's hotel living. And you're paying a whole lot more for that. When they're in their own home, you've got a tremendous amount of volunteer support that comes naturally from the community, and the individual worries more about their lives and worries more about themselves. And it keeps them healthy and vibrant, and their minds active, etc., etc.
So hold that thought. We're going to take a quick break, pay the rent, and we'll be back in a mo.
This is the HOD Hour with Stan Claff.
And I'm in the studio today with Rabbi Sean Wingren from SOSA. That's the SOS for the aged. If you want to send a WhatsApp, it's 061-895-1019, and it's SMS number is 34519. We're happy to take your SMSs or your WhatsApp. Just an announcement about the Hebrew Order of David and the elderly. Three or four times a year, we have a project which we call the Royals. It's for elderly people to come to this HOD center. This in May, we're having Rabbi Ezra Scher from the Pine Street Shul, Cantor Israel Scher, and he's going to be entertaining the community. And if you want to come, it's free. There's tea and cake afterwards, and spend a couple of hours in pleasant surroundings at the HOD Center and 58 Oaklands Road, Orchards, and anyone welcome. And so, Rabbi, you're welcome to tell your congregants in this SOS for the aged. We're talking about the aged, and just in general, everybody gets old. I suppose that's the inevitability of life. And most people don't cater for it, don't prepare for it. Certainly their families, it's when it arrives, it's something they've got to deal with. And where do you stay, and how do you get looked after, and do you maintain your Jewish values? Are you able to lead a kosher life, or are you struggling? What does it mean to you as an elderly person to live in Johannesburg? And so, Rabbi, you've devoted your time and your effort to this work since as long as I've known you, perhaps. And tell us a little bit more about, let's talk maybe a little bit about the tech situation that's assisting people. Because today with technology, as I say, giving senior citizens and their families peace of mind. So there's a lot of technical stuff available, and you're the expert.
Well, I appreciate it. We've certainly put a lot of effort into it, and I do have the engineering background, but I can't claim to be experts. We do have a lot that we can assist with in that area, and that really ties in very much with the aging at home. Thank you. The real important thing over there is the personal safety of the individual living in their own home. And a couple of years back, had an incident where someone in my building had fallen, and took like an hour for them to actually get help. And I recommended for her a system whereby she could wear something on her arm or around her neck. It's also got an automatic fall detector option. And in the event of her unable to get to her phone, she can push this any time and speak to someone via speakerphone system. This gives a lot of peace of mind. This call for help, it's got a waterproof emergency button with a two-way intercom and automatic fall detector, can work 24/7, and it gives a lot of peace of mind. We found for them, we've installed many of these systems for our senior citizen community, and it really, really brings a lot of peace of mind to them. Their families have peace of mind. So that's on the one side.
That's, I think that's an important aspect for the family, because, you know, it's one thing that the person collapses or is in need of help, but the family goes to bed at night in the safety of their own home. And how's Granny or Grandpa doing overnight?
Exactly. And we've had an incident, someone in Sandringham, for a day and a half, lay on the floor. And after this, the neighbor who already had one of our buttons told him about it and insisted, and we put one on for her. So, you know, it can happen. And even, you know, you mentioned, you know, knowing one's neighbors. Today we live in apartment buildings, etc. And when the neighbor can be just on the other side of the wall, but they can't hear you. They can't see what's going on. So this is forward thinking, is to have a button like this, a call for help button, to be able to call for help. So that's on the one side. Primary is communication and ability to call for help. Speaking of which, there's a new telecom technology nowadays which replaces the copper cable, and they're coming around and cutting the copper cable, not replacing it, not repairing it. And
talking about telecom, because there's other people also cutting the copper cable.
perhaps it all goes together. And unfortunately for senior citizens, they could find themselves with a new device that they've got no idea how to use. You pick it up, there's no dial tone. It doesn't work with their big button phones or their loud speaker-driven telephones or their cordless phones. You can't have a second extension. So we've come up with quite a novel solution to make these new telecom devices compatible with the old regular telecom phone with a copper cable that's got the big buttons, and you pick it up and you hear dial tone, etc. So that's a small side thing, but very valuable. Again, helping a person remain in their own home, and of course the big button phone. And all of these things are fundraisers for our organization. We have to find funding some way. And this is one way, is we employ senior citizens themselves, and they go out and they're at various tables at Bluebird and at the hypermarket and so on, making these available to the broader community. But by using one of these things, buying one of these things, you're supporting SOSA and our senior citizens directly.
Are senior citizens today, elderly people, are they tech savvy? I mean, can they use laptop, computer? Are they on Skype? Are they connecting with their families overseas? I guess communication like that must be very important. See the grandchildren.
That's very important. You get different grades of tech savviness. One of the things that we are offering is also a technical assistance. So we can supply a technician who could go, obviously at a fee, but through our auspices to go and help set up. We're actually sitting now with a cell phone, someone who lives in a Jewish old age home, and the children's one who keep in connection with her via WhatsApp, and we've been asked to set the whole thing up, to put it on a cradle, etc., make it safe, do the Wi-Fi for her or the communication. There's no Wi-Fi in these homes to our knowledge, and to give her that, you know, because they were living overseas. And that's another big aspect, is many of the children are living overseas, and that's why people end up going into the old age home, because the children just don't know what to do.
Yes.
Aging at home is an alternative. It could be much cheaper, healthier, safer, and also more beneficial to the community, because the senior citizen remains part of the community. As I mentioned, I never walked into this old age home, even though it was two buildings from the shul that I davened in, until I had a real reason. And it's a very common scenario, whereas a person living in the apartment building, they're still connected with their neighbors. Their neighbors still have to worry about them and still are able to assist them and come to their aid, and they have that independence.
So, by the way, we run a course every now and again for elderly people and not computer literate. It's called Vos is Dos.
Wonderful. a wonderful thing, a very important thing. Kol hakavod, it's good to know about. We actually maintain a list of activities for senior citizens on our website. If anyone needs a web address, it's actually very easy. If I can give it over, it's www.sosa. And wait for this, JOBURG. That's the entire web address, sosa.joburg. Nothing after, nothing before. And there you can see the activity planner that we've set up, and more information brochures, etc. And our Facebook, there's a link to our Facebook page. You can like our Facebook page and stay in touch, sign up for our newsletter, etc. So that's available on that side. And
so just on a note of the community, so what's the role of the shuls in the areas? Are they reaching out to these people? Are they getting them to shul? How do they get to shul? Are they working? Do they know about these people in these communities, or are they just the forgotten people in the community who are living at home and eking out an existence of some sort? Or are they really involved in the community? I know some of them do attend the shuls. I've seen it myself at the shuls. But I don't think that a lot of them are attending, and maybe they're not being ministered to.
Yeah, I think it's, we've found many senior citizens no longer belong to shuls. When they go into the retirement homes, they no longer belong to shuls. We found that to be very common. Also, they can live very far from shuls. They might move from the area. Their shul might be very far, transport, etc., getting to their shuls. Communication also can be an issue. Not all of them are on email. Some complain they're not getting even the mail. Mail today, snail mail, doesn't work so well. We've been approached by some organizations to do drop-offs to help them keep connection with the organizations, because we do have a connection to these homes. We know where these senior citizens are. In fact, we maintain a database of over 1,300 senior citizens across Gauteng, in their retirement homes, in their own homes, etc. It's become quite a formidable database. Thank God now for Purim, we were able to reach about 1,200 of these senior citizens with gifts, volunteers visiting on Purim Day. We actually ran out of gifts. We didn't have funding for more.
It was
a hand-baked hamantaschen by King David Schools. They did an incredible project. They baked they planned to bake about 1,600, because of load shedding, they ended up making about 900 odd hamantaschen, hand-baked, hand-packed by the King David children. They packed the gifts themselves, the King David children, and we supplied the names of the senior citizens. We coordinated the volunteers. It's a massive project. We do it electronically, online, on our website, to coordinate the collection, the delivery, and that's personalized. So each senior citizen has their name on their gift, and they have the name of the volunteer who's brought it to them. So fostering that connection. As I mentioned, we've tried to build holistic projects. This is on the friendship side. Is fostering that connection between the generations, the 9-year-olds and the 90-year-olds, and the mothers with empty nest syndrome who've got time on their hands, who want to visit, who want to connect with senior citizens. We know who they might be, and be able to foster those connections across. You know, a person can have a wonderful apartment, but that can be as lonely as anything. And this is where we endeavor to make that difference. That's on the friendship side.
I see on the NHS in London, they did research into one of the aspects of getting old, and one of the biggest factors is loneliness, because how do you get through the day?
Exactly.
You've had breakfast. And now what have you got to do?
And you're not driving, etc. And thank God there is so much that can be done. There is so much. We've put up this citywide activity planner. We printed it and we distributed it. It's available on our website. And we also offer lifting. We actually have a paid Uber rate service, a lifting service, but it's really very, very reasonable. And then there's a real need to create and coordinate more lifting. It's a quite an involved process to lift a senior citizen. They often need to place that lift via the telephone day before, etc. It takes time. So we one of the things we're trying to set up is a dedicated call center, SAS for the Aged call center, where a senior citizen can phone. Whatever their issues are, we can help them sort that out. And senior citizens still like the phone.
You can outsource the call center to India, because I believe they're looking for people.
Well,
they're looking for work.
Believe it or not, we want to have right here in Johannesburg, that
manned by Jewish people.
Manned by Jewish people, volunteers, etc. I feel we can really make a big contribution over there. You won't believe I get calls at 6 a.m. in the morning, and the senior citizen thinks it's 8 a.m. in the morning, or 5 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon.
By 7 o'clock in the morning, the day's already 4 hours old.
Exactly. And it needs to be a 24/7 call center that can be available to assist.
What about activities for these people. I mean, I know my mother was in our parents' home. She was a very ardent supporter of these activities, but there didn't seem to be enough. Are there enough activities for elderly people to keep them interested? Because I can imagine it must be a big effort to be able to put these things on, you know, 6 days a week. You can go to shul on Shabbos. That's one activity.
Yeah.
But, I've seen at some of these homes when it's tea time, everybody comes out of the room. They come down for tea, you know, because that's an important social event. But is there something for them to do in the community?
Are there
activities sufficient to really for the community?
So I think there's definitely a huge shortage of things that could be done. I find in some of these private retirement homes, activities are very sparse, nothing like our Jewish communal homes. And a lot can be done. A tremendous amount can be done on that score. Our shuls as well, I feel a lot more can be done through our shuls. These are potential members that also have a connection to their children and grandchildren, etc. And in England, for example, London, I'm very aware that the shuls there have extensive programs for their senior citizens. But our shuls are struggling. Our shuls, you know, membership is down, finances are short. We do actually run a program from one particular shul for the senior citizens. They used to have such a program, and due to lack of resources, the rabbi that was running it was no longer there anymore, and we took up that slack. It can be done at other shuls as well. To run these programs for seniors, it's quite specialized. You need to arrange transport. You need to contact them.
Probably the activity is one thing, but the transport is quite another, because not everybody is able to get around, even if they have the means or they can afford it. But, you know, we know that when we've had, you've got to pick the time of day, you've got to pick when it is the central area that people can get to easily, and I don't think there's enough. Certainly, my experience has been that there's not enough people able to do these projects to support and drive them.
There's a lot of people who could lift, but one idea that we're working on. There are a lot of dealerships that are supported by these senior citizens. They've got their motor cars and they've had them for many, many years. Their courtesy vehicles are not necessarily being used in the off-peak hours when we're running these activities, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the day. And if there are any owners of these dealerships out there, please be in touch. If you've got the desire to donate a vehicle, a driver, on a ad hoc basis, whatever you're able to assist in the Melrose area, Killarney area, Glen Hazel area, Bryanston area. We've got senior citizens all across Johannesburg, Berea. We've got 61 odd Jewish people that live in Berea. Many are senior citizens that could benefit by transport, etc. Please be in touch. Our office number is actually very easy. It's 011-882-8322. You can find us on the web at sosa.jobrg. If anyone is able to assist with lifting, we would be able to coordinate that.
This is not a paid for ad, so we're happy to have you announce it, and we'll give you another opportunity at the end.
Thank you.
In the meantime, we're going to go to some paid for ads so we can pay the rent, and we'll take a quick break.
This is the HOD Hour with Stan Claff.
And I'm in the studio with Rabbi Sean Wingren, and we're talking about the aged. A couple of announcements. First of all, if you want to send a WhatsApp, it's 061-895-1019. SMS number 34519. We're running two projects at the moment. The first one is the book Learn Shabbos in 3 minutes a Day. And you can actually buy this book from us online, or you can buy it from the HOD offices. It's 365 Rand. That's 1 Rand per day. If you come to the HOD offices, you can get it for 320 Rand. If we can email it to you, I mean, not email it, we'll courier it to you anywhere in the country within 48 hours. We're sending out notices to the community. If you want to contact the HOD office, it's 011-640-3017, or you can email info@hodavid.org. Info@hodavid.org. I mentioned the Royals, which is a project for the elderly, where Cantor Ezra Sher will be talking, will be performing at, and he's a very talented cantor. He's going to be performing in May, and the notices are up. He's going to be at the HRD Center on Tuesday, the 16th of May, and we're going to be serving some tea and cake as well for refreshments afterwards. Anybody is welcome to come. Children with parents, children of 90 with their parents can also attend, anybody. And so the rabbi here is working within the aged community. And we're going to come, and we've got one other project which is, could be of interest to all people Jewish. It's a day in the life of a Jew in South Africa. And this project is, all you have to do is take a photograph. Today, cell phones are getting better and better. Some have even 5 cameras on them. I don't want to mention brand names, but they are fantastic devices, and you can send a photograph also to info@hodavid.org, and we're going to present or produce a book, a coffee table book at the end of the year if all goes well. And in addition to that, there's 25,000 rand worth of prizes. Take a photograph, add some words to it, send it in. And we're busy compiling the project at the moment. I'm with Rabbi Sean Wingren, and we're talking about the aged. His organization is called SOSA. That's SOS for the aged, and working hard in the community to look after those people who are scattered all over the city, who are in need of help. Not so much in health-wise or in otherwise, but really just communication, getting in touch with them, making sure that that their well-being is looked after, that they are getting kosher food, etc. And Rabbi, take us through in the last few minutes a little bit more about what you do. Have we left anything out?
Well,
and how can the community get involved?
Yeah, thank you. So just very briefly, we've got 3 main areas of involvement: a holistic approach on the spiritual side, the aging enrichment. We've got Jewish talks across the city from Berea, Waverley, down to Branston. On the friendship side, we've just done a big project on Purim, with some 1,200 gifts, as we mentioned, across the city to senior citizens, involving the day school children. And then on the physical side, we've been speaking a bit about the technology for aging at home, help a person remain in their own home. Around that, our tech care range of solutions for senior citizens. And just to mention one very new addition to that is a fireball. A fire extinguishing ball, to give it its full name. And this is something which I found as one of the top ways of putting out a fire in 2018, innovation, and it's available through SOSA. It is a ball that a senior citizen or anyone actually can take in their hand and throw at the fire. It's designed to find the base of the fire, and when it catches a light, it explodes with the same chemicals that are in the fire extinguisher, the powder chemical, and putting out the fire. Now, you might say, well, we can just get a fire extinguisher. The problem with that is, firstly, it can be high, it can be heavy, it might not have been serviced, and it's not always available for a senior citizen or a child, etc., to get these off the wall, or get them active, pull the pin out, etc. It's a whole ganze Megillah. Whereas this fireball can be mounted on the wall, and you just simply take it and throw it at the fire. So that's a first line of defense. Also, very unique, it acts as a fire sentry. So you can take it and you can mount it above the stove or above a heater. And if that catches a light, it then can spray the fire retardant over the fire and put it out without any human intervention whatsoever. So it's quite unique from that point of view. We're selling the genuine product, available through SOSA, and it's something to be aware of. Unfortunately, our fire stations are not what they used to be. I've seen this firsthand. And it's something that we should perhaps take more cognizance of, have a plan, make sure that we know where a fire extinguisher is, or have a proper solution in place in Chas v'Shalom if a fire should break out. especially with load shedding. There's candles, etc. It's something just to be aware. And we're offering that on the Tech Care. The Aging at Home solution is this Fireball.
What is the cost of that?
So the Fireball is just short of R1,000 for one of these Fireballs, but it's got a 5-year shelf life. This is a genuine product. And it is a fundraiser for our organization, although that is the standard, a market-related price for the product. And it's certainly something to consider. It really should be more available. So that's on the physical side.
So on the question of this Fireball, if you send an WhatsApp or an SMS message to 061-895-1019 or SMS number 34519, the Hebrew Order of David will make one of these available, which we'll pay for, and the first person, or we'll draw a lucky number of the first person to get that, and we'll send it to a courier to you, or we'll get it delivered to you anywhere in the Johannesburg area in the next couple of days. But you need to send, and it must be for somebody elderly. Don't have it for your kitchen in your mansion in wherever you live. This is for an elderly person who's in need of this, and it's 061-895-1019 or the SMS number 34519. Send it in, the HRD will put the bill and we'll get it to you.
Well, thank you. Please God, it can make a difference to someone's life. And thank you for that support. Very much appreciate, very much needed. And I must thank you for the inspiration you've given me. Because we work in a space, our senior citizens are often neglected. Funding right now, as we all know, is really a challenge. We do rely on donor funding, just like the HRD. Just being on your show and being able to share with you and reflect on what we've been doing and what we hope to do is a real inspiration, and I really appreciate that. And thank you very much for this opportunity to spend this time on the show with you.
So, Rabbi, you're the one that actually needs to be thanked. You're a person in the community who, unsung hero, a person who's doing such good work with people who really are in need. And the Hebrew Order of David would like to be involved in projects where we could assist, possibly more so in ways of entertaining or looking after these people. And we're looking for ideas. We're always looking for ideas. We're going to sign you up as a member, so that'll bring you closer to us. And that's a condition, of course, precedent. And part of the, it is, you know, what we do for the, on this thing called the Royals, which is a project we've been running for many years, goes back to the days of the Kroc brothers and the late Harry Klaas. And so in that sense, we would like to be more involved in the community. I think that part of the really looking after the ages is providing activity. I think that it would lessen the blow of things like the onset of amnesia, of
Alzheimer's,
etc., of those things which are really problems in the community. And thank you for coming on the show. And if you want to contact the HRD, 011-640-3017, we're looking for ideas. Send in your message for the WhatsApp for the Fireball, and we'll get it delivered to somebody in your family. Good night, and wishing you a Pesach greeting. May you have a kosher Pesach. May it be enjoyable for the family, and may you remember the past.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.